Okay, thank you.
Very good. With that, we'll move to 24, Park Division Assets, with Director Van Meteren.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Rowland. Jeff Van Meteren, Parks Division Director. So I wanted to come forward this morning and share with you, knowing that we have several new commissioners on board here, kind of our capital asset program. Chris pulls this up here. Capital assets, asset management is one of our core pillars of the department as part of our strategic plan. Really critical pillar for the Parks Division. Extremely important to our third pillar, which is customer service. So we have a very robust plethora of capital assets out there, and try to describe what that scale and diversity looks like here. But most of our visitors primarily focus on our campgrounds, our beaches, our trails, our boat ramps, and our lodging. But behind the scenes, we've got all kinds of underground infrastructure, roads, buildings, shops, things like that that help our visitors really and staff really keep our parks up. This is just a view, kind of a large glimpse of our entire system by the numbers. You can see that we have over 4,500 campsites. We'll get into these in a little bit more detail here. 242 cabins, 128 comfort stations, 300 plus boat ramps, and so on and so forth. All these things are meaningful to our visitors. We operate with a 5-year plan to maintain these facilities. It starts with our managers that submit a project request, goes through our chain of command. We probably have on average 200 projects plus a year that come into the system. So over a 5-year period, we may have up to 1,000 projects that we're looking at. We really focus on the first 2 years, but we like to do it in a 5-year increment so we can kind of see some of those big things coming up. Now we'll get into the numbers here. Again, a very diverse system. This diversity is kind of what drives our user opportunities. We have some folks that just use our parks because we have great boat ramps. They like to fish. Then we have some folks that they could care less about a boat ramp. They just want to hike on a trail or take their bike to the park to use. So really important to us that we offer this diversity. On the same token, it's what drives our park managers, the same diversity. Most of our staff come in and as a new recruit, and they usually have one or two areas that they have some expertise in, depending on the park location. This is a learning challenge for them. If you don't like diversity in the park system, you probably don't want to be a park manager. Very, very diverse set of opportunities and job tasks. So I remember going to college and I knew nothing about a drain field. You will learn very quickly about drain fields as a park manager. So things like that. Anyway, aquatic access, quality boating and fishing facilities are a key to our park system. This is where the Wildlife Division, the Parks Division work hand in hand. We have a ton of boat ramps around the state, docks, shoreline fishing sites, just all kinds of things. And then, of course, we have our fabulous fish cleaning stations. We offer 39 grinder units and 10 primitive fish clean tables. So we hear these comments from our visitors from out of state all the time. I cannot believe the facilities you have to help clean our fish. Most states don't offer these. Nebraska's kind of jumped on our bandwagon now too and started to offer these same fish grinding units down their parks. But you drive to Iowa and Minnesota, and it's very rare that you'd ever find an actual fish cleaning station. So, next one, Chris. Thank you. We have 115 campgrounds across our system that offer 4,550 sites. That's everything. That's electric, that's not electric, tent sites, equestrian sites, and of course, our host sites for our campground hosts and volunteers that work in our park. You know, just in as an example, and I'll get into this later on in our revenue report. Over Labor Day or Memorial Day weekend, we hosted 4,324 nights of camping on average for those 3 days over Memorial Day weekend. So we were running at about 95% plus capacity for those 3 days. That's pretty incredible when you think about it. You know, we have sites that quite honestly aren't in maybe some of the more desirable locations. We have tent sites out there. We were using just shy of 200, using everything just shy of 200 units in our entire system. Mm-hmm. So we were very happy with that. That was actually a record for us on a Memorial Day. 242 cabins, camping cabins. You're very familiar with these. These are extremely affordable, and in my opinion, are one of our overnight entry points into the camping and outdoor world that many of our visitors come to our parks to enjoy. This is a gateway thing. I just recently camped with a couple of my kids, and we own our own RV, of course, but they used a camping cabin. They're just not in a position where they can own an RV at this point in time. And this is their gateway into our parks. But very, very popular. These things, we try to average around 100 to 125 nights. We have some that do way more than that. But on average, they get used heavily. Next one is our modern lodging. So this is a step up from our camping cabins. These offer indoor bathrooms, kitchen facilities. We have 25 modern cabins, 7 lodges that will host or that will allow 12 plus people to sleep in them, and then 3 suites with 10 units. These are the nice things. These are the facilities that people come to because they want all the conveniences. You saw yesterday in Hillary's data that 1 out of 3 people return to use these. You know, I think that's an incredible high percentage. We feel really good about that, considering that some people just stop it and use them one time, maybe on their way to Yellowstone, or maybe they have a birthday party they want to use it for, or some kind of anniversary thing. But we get a lot of repeat use with these things. That makes us feel like we're offering the right thing. We've set these out for what they need. So we feel good about this. We do see this as a huge future potential, because I think as the younger generations come up, they like these conveniences. So next item is our bathrooms. Bread and butter of our campgrounds. When you think of what visitors want, almost every survey will tell you clean bathrooms and security. Our conservation officers provide that security, and our park staff provide the clean bathrooms, and really important for the visitors' experience. You know, the dump stations, the lift stations that go with this also make that complete in terms of allowing them to use our facilities. Campground amenities. You know, we've got just a plethora of different things we offer. Playgrounds are very, very popular in our campgrounds. This happens to be a playground out of Platte Creek. Designated swimming beaches, boating beaches. A lot of people ask, what's a boating beach? It's a beach that allows you to bring your boat up onto. Very, very popular. People swim on those. They boat off those, water ski, tube, all those kinds of things. Shelters, disc golf course. We have parks that host weekly golf, disc golf leagues. And all the other things that we do in our parks. These amenities are really what drive our day use numbers. A lot of these facilities are what our day users want. They're not interested in maybe staying overnight. We wish they would, but they maybe just want to come out to the park to go disc golfing. They want to have a family reunion picnic type of thing. They just want to go swimming. These are really critical to our park system. This is what drives our insurance license sales, and you'll see in the report again, we are really knocking it out of the park this year and last year with our insurance license sales. Really happy about that. Next one. This is kind of unique. We offer 10 visitor centers and museums. Several of you have been in some of these museums before, but they're also a retail outlet for our merchandise. That's one of our pushes this last year was with our merchandise. We think we can do better. People want to buy our merchandise. They've expressed that to us. We want to offer good quality stuff. They want those souvenirs when they come to our parks. Really important that we maintain these things as well. And then this one is very unique. We manage 37 historical structures as part of our system. You saw yesterday in our tour the Herman Luce cabin. We have those kind of cabins throughout. And we have parks like at the Adams area in Fort Siston that have a number of buildings, historic buildings in them. That's kind of the key component to those park operations. So understanding how to maintain those things, really important so that they don't fall apart. We'd like to think that all of our historical structures, are in good shape and have a life, a long life ahead of them. We don't want to manage parks where they're falling apart in front of us. Park utilities, that unspoken thing that nobody really recognizes. We have miles and miles of underground water systems, sewer systems, and electrical systems. The ARPA funding that we got recently here really took care of those first two bullet points, water and sewer. We used over almost $20 million in maintaining those things that will have decades and decades of benefit to our system by investing in those things. So really pleased about that. But we've got to have those things. If you're camping in the park system, you want all three of those. When one of those doesn't work, we hear about it. Our road systems. This is one of the more expensive part of our operations. Our roads alone are generally make up 50 to 60% of our capital development budget in our park system. This past year, we had a $16.5 million total budget for our capital development program. So almost half, a little over half of that was dedicated to the road systems. Those collector fund monies that we get from DOT are very important to help us maintain those roads or those access points to our parks. So, and then of course, trails. When we do surveys in our parks and ask people what they like, what they want in our parks, trails is always the number one thing that comes up in those surveys. We maintain 405 miles of hiking trails. Then, of course, we have our snowmobile trail system, 350 miles of trail system in the Black Hills and 925 miles of trails on the eastern side of the state through our East River program there. We also manage a 155-mile canoe trail, which most people don't remember. It's called the J. Heath Canoe Trail on the Big Sioux River. So. And then the equestrian recreation opportunities in our park system are something a lot of folks don't understand or don't realize we have. We have a number of campground sites at Custer, Newton Hills, Oakwood, Pelican, Sichi Hollow, and Union Grove. Then we also maintain, of course, the trail systems for those at those various. And that's not a complete list of all of our trails or equestrian sites, but we offer a great deal of horse sites. Our horse trails and campgrounds tend to be kind of in pockets in certain parts of the state. It seems like where that's more popular. Yankton and Newton Hills, Custer State Park, very, very popular. If I had to guess, and I'm not a horse person, but there's just more folks around those areas that stable horses and are looking for a place to ride, and they really like our horse trail systems. They want a challenging ride. They don't want to ride on the flat prairie. They want to ride up and down the hills, and the Missouri River Hills really make for a great setting for that, along with many of those other parks there. We also manage 15 archery ranges and trails, two trap shooting ranges, and two rifle and handgun ranges. Just recently, we hosted four archery tournaments through that the NFA, that Commissioner Cole is very familiar with, in the Yankton area. They utilized our archery ranges there. But a lot of people don't realize we also offer trap ranges and rifle ranges. So we manage these. We receive funding with those PR dollars we talked about yesterday. And then we stick some of our license dollars into them as well. You'll see a lot of folks that come to our campgrounds that bring their various weapons, whether they be bows and arrows or rifles, and they enjoy the shooting and the opportunity to do that. And then one of the things you're all very familiar with is our park concession operations. Two of these right now we have bids out on, Custer State Park Resort and the Dock 44 Marina. But in addition to those two, we also have the other seven there listed on there. This is a partnership, in our opinion, these concession operations. They're offering services that we either don't have the expertise for, or the FTE for, the full-time staff for. They offer services to the public that we don't provide. And they want them in our park areas. They need a base of operation to do that, especially when you look at like the marinas and that. And they all get very heavily used. So we got a good system of concessions, but also very good partners right now. I think some of the best we've ever had. Our visitor expectations, they want safe, functional facilities. They want clean bathrooms. They want reliable utilities, quality lodging, and accessible recreation. That's what drives them to come to our parks. That's what drives us to maintain those facilities. Challenge of asset management. We have literally thousands of, if you count every one, thousands of different assets across the state. You know, it's constantly aging. They get a lot of use on them. They require specialized maintenance care. And, you know, we have somewhat limited staff resources. So sometimes we'll contract to maintain some of these, but we try to maintain as many of these on our own with our staff. Spend a lot of money investing in our staff to give them the skills and the training to do that as well. Why asset management matters? It helps us prioritize our investments, understand our replacement needs, really helps with the budgeting. We want to avoid failures in our system. We want to have a plan where we know what's coming at us. Our customers want this. If we don't have a good system of facilities out there that are well maintained, they're not going to come to our parks, and we feel like we do that. So with that, I want to make a couple closing comments, and I'm going to do an introduction here. Like any great business, we want to give our visitors a great experience. And having great facilities is key to making that happen. Parks are becoming more and more of a gateway as we see a shift in our population from rural to urban. This is, in a lot of ways, a lot of people's first introduction in the outdoors. It's an important part of our department's mission. We'd like to think that this maybe gets people out there and helps them appreciate everything that we offer in our department, from fishing, hunting, and outdoor recreation. Whether you're a camper, you just like to ride the horse trails, or you just want to use our parks for fishing, we want to be able to offer it all. So, yeah, and then I want to take the time this morning Mark Crawford. Mark, would you mind standing up? Mark is a special staff person here, works in our Northeast region. Mark, have you 3 years now, Mark? 4 years?
Yeah.
Three to four years. Okay. Mark came from the private industry side, built homes, probably a lot of other things, has a tremendous amount of trade skills as serving as a contractor. Mark has been the guy that has really led us on our building projects. I can't begin to list off all the different things you built, but just most recently constructed on his own with the help of park staff, a 1,600 square foot office building at Pelican Lake Recreation Area. Built a lodge at Pickerel Lake here not too many, a year or two ago. Just recently helped us move a house from Fisher Grove up to Fort Sisseton and remodel that and countless other things. What I most appreciate about Mark, and I watched this firsthand when I visited the construction site at Pelican, is not only is he building these things, but he's teaching our staff. He had three staff people up there that were hanging siding that day. And one of them had a piece of siding that was 1/4 of an inch off, and Mark had him take that down and make that match. So, he wants it done right. And I like that about Mark. But, Mark, we just want to publicly thank you for all your work and everything you've done. And, thank you for just not only doing the great work you're doing, but also training our staff. It's really meaningful to us.
Well, I appreciate that. And it is I get a lot of help too. So it's been a good experience for me.
Yeah. Every great project needs a great leader though, and that's you.
So, thank you.
All right. With that, I'll end. And if any of you have any questions. So.
Very good. Any questions and our comments? Commissioner Bartley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartley. Director, with the 10 primitive fish cleaning stations, are there any plans to improve them, or are they in certain places that really don't maybe require anything updated? Thank you.
To the chair. Great question, Commissioner Bartley. Most of those are in areas that receive pretty limited use for fishing or very seasonal use. Example that one of my favorite places to fish out of Star Valley down in your neck of the woods. I don't see us putting in a commercial type drainage. The other part of that is we'd like to put them in park locations where we have staff in case they do get jammed up, broke down. If you're a park manager in a park with a fish cleaning station, you very quickly learn how to unplug a fish drainer. That's just part of the job. So,
yes, please.
And then a follow-up, thank you. I'm thinking of the one up above Snake Creek, that got moved up to the top. I'm sure that's getting heavy use from other campgrounds that in the area that don't use Snake Creek or that. Is that overusage, for lack of a better word, or can issues there or not?
Through the chair, so we have a couple of those right now, Snake Creek, Pease Creek, where we moved them outside of the park and combined them with our dump stations, really make for a nice facility. It's nice to get that stuff out of the park too, the noise, the smell in some cases. And then especially in the case of Snake Creek, putting it up there on Highway 44, we get traffic from other parks that come and utilize that. I wouldn't say it's being overutilized, but it's certainly getting used. It's a rare day when you don't drive past there. There's a lineup of people not only loading up with water, dumping their camper, but also a whole bunch of folks cleaning fish. And that's pretty awesome. Yeah, that was a project where we worked with the Wildlife Division, where we used some of their property to install that. And we're both serving the same mission there. So.
Additional questions, comments from the commission? Commissioner Paul?
First of all, talking about roots and fire, we just have, I'd really like to challenge the commission to look in the areas of some of the events and leading up to a comment that I'm going to make about the user groups. What we saw at Lewis and Clark which is obviously a big part of it, the horse trails, 20 years ago, they were taboo. It was like nothing can be there but horses. And now it's BMX bikes, it's hiking trails, it's horse, it's archery ranges. But you know, one of the things that, the other thing that was taboo when it came to special events, you couldn't have competitive tournaments. You couldn't have the, even fishing tournaments back then were like, oh, we better not go there. We've evolved into that. And obviously the user group thing is a big thing, but you know, in each area, I would really look at it. I mean, you all know that I have a strong connection with archery. At Lewis and Clark, we just held huge tournaments, and we've got a bigger one. We'll have 60 countries and all 50 states represented by the end of the year. But, you know, those are the things when you do a fishing event or the BMX stuff or whatever it may be, getting that private sector, which really is more of a nonprofit private because they're big sporting groups. I don't know a lot about fishing and all that stuff, but in my case, archery, but I know there's BMX people. And my question is, though, as that evolved, you know what I'm talking about, way back 20 years ago, that horse thing was like just for horses. And obviously the bike people came in and you answer the challenge there if they wanted a place to go. But the daily use they get is one whole pillar. The second pillar are those events that they have that could be just in state. The third are going regionally and nationally. And all those sports have them. But I think it's an untapped market that we have. I think we're touching it, but I think there's a lot to do. And I'd like to hear your comments on the user groups and how that evolved and if it's going on in any other state parks other than Lewis and Clark.
To Chair, Commissioner Cole. Yeah, we take those as they come. I'd like to say we're always open to new user groups as long as it's compatible with resources. In that case, the mountain biking BMX park that we developed there as part of the horse trail area there. We like to look at our parks as multi-use facilities rather than little silos of this use and that use and that use. So where we can double up on those things and get two groups of people using something instead of just one group, we're always going to be open to that. We have to be careful, though, that sometimes a guy riding a horse or versus a guy riding a bike, you can have some conflicts there. So we have to be careful with that. And I'd like to think we've worked around that. So, yeah.
Is that happening? How many places you say?
We do. Right now, we are experiencing some of that use. It's really interesting that kind of like the equestrian thing, there's pockets of the state where some of those activities happen, and then there's other areas of the state where there's just not a lot of that kind of activity. But we do have folks that use like Newton Hills and Union Grove and the Big Sioux Recreation Area for mountain biking. Again, there's some user groups there that want that kind of thing. I can't speak for all the other states. I got two of my original supervisors here right now. I don't know if it's happening in other areas of the state, but, you know, disc golf is an example of something that just really took off in our parks. And then there's a couple of parks where it's not a big deal. We've actually moved those things out of there and looking at putting them in other places. So we like to respond where it's where there's a need, if you will.
Very good. Director Van Meter, and I have a question for you, and actually a comment first. Mark, thank you for being here and the skills you're giving so many. It obviously benefits the department, but in the end, it benefits our users and it helps us connect them to the outdoors. Jeff, my question to you is, you talked about the gateways to get people into our park system and the different levels. So it's affordable to them and where they are in their life. When we talk about the modern cabins and the increase of interest in those, can you give me a cost comparison if they were to try to go get a VRBO and the affordability with our modern cabins compared to the private sector?
So our cabins, Chairman Missler, our cabins range Our modern facilities range from 105 at a minimum price to as much as 280 plus tax. VRBOs, we have looked at that, and it's interesting out there what they go for. They're not, again, I'm sure it's a demand thing, based on where you're at. Like you go to the Black Hills, you're going to pay significantly more for that. On the other hand, that's our competition on the east side of the state. People are renting all kinds of things anymore for VRBOs. But what they can't offer that we can offer is a lodging facility inside of a park. And that's what we key on. Our biggest challenge is making people aware of what we offer. And we've looked at trying to get on those sites. They're not as government friendly as we'd like them to be, but we've seen, and you'll see this in our reports coming up here, we continue to see good growth numbers in our lodging units. We still have a ton of capacity there, but we're very, very pleased with how we're increasing that use. Again, right now we're up like 17% over last year, which was a record. So every year we're setting records there. And I think a lot of that's our park managers posting on Facebook, social media sites, just word of mouth as people spread. You know, I go fishing with a couple of groups, large groups of guys every year. And in one case, we used to use our lodge at Lake Thompson all the time. And it just couldn't be believed you could rent a lodge that could sleep 12, 14 guys for $280 a night. And okay, I had 14 guys that are doing that. Now they're talking to other people. And so, yeah, we need to continue pushing that. But I don't know if I answered your question. It's market driven. But I do believe our facilities are all very affordable.
And you did. Thank you. That was the point, that they are affordable.
Yep.
And we have a variety for folks of every level and their needs. So.
Sure. And you don't have to have an RV. If you don't, you can come. You can stop. If you got a tent, we'll have a tent site for you. If you got if you want to travel or camping cabins, we've got plenty of those. We do encourage people to reserve those early though, because they go fast, and then are modular. So.
Very good. Thank you. Additional questions, comments? Secretary Rubin.
I'll just make a quick comment. Mark, thank you for all your work. That office is beautiful. I went to see you last week when I was in Watertown. Thank you for that, sir. That was great. As far as the rest of the presentation, Jeff, great overview of all the things we offer in our parks. It is truly amazing, really. As a park user myself, an avid park user, there's probably no favorite place for my family to be than in our state parks, it seems lately. So, Jeff, you have some new users coming up the line. But ultimately, the amenities are something that I think we do take for granted. The playgrounds are in tip-top shape, the fish cleaning stations, the boat ramps, the beaches, the comfort stations are very clean all the time. And those are things that really do matter. And that goes back to that customer service aspect. So very proud of the team, very proud of the opportunities we get to offer folks and the memories that are made in our state park system. Thank you.